we've been going through the book of Acts, and I know some of you are thinking, well, we really haven't went through the book of Acts. Maybe you're thinking that, maybe not. But the whole theme has been, how did Christ establish his church? Who did he use? How did he do it? And what do we need to do to follow his model, to mimic his model, to adopt his model? Because don't you think Jesus was probably, we know he was the first church planter, amen? And we know that he did it right, because here we are 2,000 years later and the church is still standing. Somebody say amen to that. That's huge. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. So he knew what he was doing. He knew exactly who to put into the right places. And I want you to hear something. I'll say a very few things today, but if you read scripture, Jesus, prior to choosing the 12, what did he do? Bible says he prayed for about 10 hours. Now, I don't believe he was praying for clarity for 10 hours. I believe he was praying for strategy. God, show me the individuals that you've called me to put into their positions and show me how to train them and show me how to speak into their lives. Show me their hearts. Show me the ways in which I can mold them into what you've called them to be. Somebody say amen. And so he prayed for 10 hours, and he came back down and he picked the 12 men. Why did he pick 12? It's interesting. The 12 represent a new beginning. When we went to Judaism, it was 12 tribes. 12 was the establishment. And so Jesus comes and he picks 12 new leaders that didn't have anything that the old leaders possessed in way of skills, credentials, wisdom. He picked a whole new set. And why did he do that? Two reasons. Because he was doing a new thing with a new covenant, and he was sticking it to the establishment. Somebody say amen. This ain't working. We're moving it. There's a new thing. Jesus said that many times. Old wineskins cannot take in new wine. You have to have new wineskins for new wine. I'm doing a new thing, and I'm using the people that God has called to be used, and this is going to be a spiritual building of the church. It's going to be a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men, and God has placed and positioned these 12 men in the proper places for such a time as this. Now, the insight came from prayer. The insight came from hearing God's voice and knowing who it is that God called. Boy, when's the last time you walked out of prayer with that much confidence, with that much of a plan and strategy for the next step in your life? Think about that. Jesus needed 10 to 12 hours to pray and to seek God. And we give ourselves 10 to 12 hours a month? Maybe. And we understand and know that this was established through the heart of God to Jesus through a prophetic voice, through a prophetic direction. And God chose men that the world would not have chosen. Matter of fact, Scripture says these men were common, uneducated men. It's an interesting word, man. And like I said, I don't have time to get into that depth, but we will next week, because I want to speak to you about what God requires of us and who God wants to use and why he decides to use them. The choice to use those 12 men was easy. It was a new thing, and it was going to be people who were going to be prone to give God glory and honor. I love what you said, Doug. Winning souls is never about you. It's about him. It's about how empty and reliant and dependent we become upon Jesus Christ. His power and his presence in our life is what makes us successful or fail. Someone say amen to that. Amen. And I love these. You're going to see some great things in the disciples and the apostles of what God saw and how God used them. I'll give you a little hint. Like, if you look at all the testimony or all the gospels of the apostles, do you know who is first in every single one of them? Besides Jesus. Oh, he's praying. Peter, why was he first? Because that's whom God chose as leadership of his church. And he sets him up in four different quadrants, or three. So there's a leader of each four groups. And you'll see this, how interesting this is. But Peter was the man God chose to use. And he trained Peter. And here's a little hint how he trained Peter. Peter was known by two names. Peter was known by Petra, Peter the Rock, and Simon. Simon was the carnal Peter. Whenever you see Jesus calling Peter Simon, it's always with a rebuke or with some sort of natural thing. When you see him call him Peter, it's when he's acting and behaving and walking in the anointing God had called him to walk in. Amen. He gave him a new name. And then he used that new name to encourage him to walk into that. Tommy Lasorda did this. This principle is not old. I mean, is old, but it's not new. It's familiar. Anyone know who Tommy Lasorda is? There was a long, skinny pitcher that was very timid, and he was very shy, but he had an arm. And Tommy Lasorda said, if this kid could get confidence, his arm strength will carry him. I mean, he's going to be an asset to any team. And so he decided to call him Bulldog. And Bulldog meant a go-getter. It was like this title that gave Tommy Lasorda this confidence and this bigger-than-life name. Or not Tommy Lasorda, the man who he spoke that to. So Tommy Lasorda gave him that name. And it worked because he continued to call him that. And this guy continued to grow confidence and continued to pitch and continued to be renowned. Oral Horshiser, thank you. That's who it molded. Why? How did it start? By building a confidence and showing this individual who he is opposed to who he's acting like. And Jesus does the same thing for us. He's called us into a position, into a place of leadership. He's called us into a place of authority, and we need to know what that place of authority and leadership is. And if you look at Peter, Peter was constantly being reminded, Peter, oh yeah, act like Peter. Be the rock that I called you to be. Stop being unstable. Stop saying things and not meaning what you say. Stop having a foot-shaped mouth, because every time you say something, you seem to put your foot in your mouth. But there are times when Peter hit it dead on. Somebody say amen. There are times when Peter spoke up and nailed it. There are times when Peter initiated something and nailed it. He was the leadership. Who stepped out of the boat? Peter, he was leadership. There's qualities and raw material that Peter possessed that Jesus knew was in him. And he said, in the hands of God, under the anointing, this lump of clay can be something greater than he is today. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Man. And so we're going to talk about some of those leadership's qualities and characteristics and who it is who God uses to build the church and how he does it. And look, I don't claim to know every bit. I think there's mysteries in leadership that God uses. Somebody say amen. He doesn't want us figuring it out. But there is some similarities. There's some common information or common characteristics that exist. And some of those characteristics, if put in the hands of God, are brilliant. However, if left in the flesh, they're very destructive. So I'll talk about some of those things. Can I do that next week? Man, it's going to be good. And I still am going to talk about myrtle. Somebody said myrtle to thorns to myrtle. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about it. But I think the transition between Peter and Simon is a good way. Let me tell you how my mind thinks. It's a good way to put thorns to myrtle. Somebody say amen. So maybe next week I'll use that. Will you stand to your feet this morning? So we've come here today, and we've been blessed. I've been blessed in my spirit. I've been blessed in my... I want to thank... Just to see the opportunities that are being... The doors that are being opened, the opportunities that exist at Higher Praise for leadership, for getting involved in ministry, and, listen, and those taking the initiative and the step to do it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I truly... Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things happening at Higher Praise, and there's a lot of opportunities. Here's how I try to judge, is this the right person for this opportunity? Not only through the gifting test that we do, but it's an initiative. If I have to go and beg and talk and compel and talk this individual into doing something, I promise you that they ain't gonna have enough gas and passion to continue. But those individuals that come and say, Pastor, this is what I feel. That's an opportunity. I prayed about it, and I felt fire in my spirit to do that and to be a part of that. And I saw a vision of that. Can I do that? Will you give me permission? Boy, those people, they just go. They just grow. They just take ownership of that. Amen, amen. When God called me to preach, and I don't say this to try to elevate or anything, I put everything, listen, I invested into that gift because I knew God called me to do it. I invested into the materials that were needed. I invested into the school. I did that because I knew God had given me a vision and he called me to in this place of position. Do you know what? If I didn't have the vision and the calling, I would have quit a long time ago. You know what pushed me through my first bachelor's degree? It's because God called me, and I wanted to quit many a times, but the voice of the Holy Spirit reminded me that God is going to use this for his glory. So I stayed. Then I got another one, and I wanted to quit, but I stayed. And then this last one was the most difficult one, but I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up, but it was the voice of God who gripped me and would not let me stop. Why is that important for us? Because when you're called of God, you won't quit. Oh, you didn't hear me. When you're called of God, you cannot quit. Let me tell you something. When God opened a door for the 11 disciples or the 12, all but 11 stayed. One quit. It was Judas. One quit. The other ones continued even after failure, even after mistakes, even after brutal mess ups. They got back up. They collected themselves and they hung on again. That's how you do it. A true person called of God, a true calling. And I'm going to tell you something. You step in that place of ministry, you're going to be tested and challenged, I promise you. It's a crucible. And my position is those that are truly called can't walk away. Not and be sane. Let me just say it that way. When I'm in every position of our life, when I'm called into a marriage with my wife, and my wife's called into a marriage with me, it's a calling. We can't quit. You say, Pastor, you have to keep going. You can't quit. No, I don't want to quit. Is it tough? Is there temptation? Absolutely. But there's a calling that keeps me and her rooted and continuing. Someone say amen. When God builds his church, when God builds his leaders, when God builds his people, the gates of hell shall not prevail. They will continue. So this morning, you may be saying, Pastor, this is kind of a short little devotion, but you know what? You spoke something in my spirit. And God has called me to something. God has called me into a place and a position. You may know what it is. Praise God. Praise God. Now the next step is getting the initiative, taking the steps to get yourself involved in that ministry. You may be in a position that says, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Whoa, this is a good thing. Now we seek God and ask God to reveal it to us. And you know what? He'll confirm it. What does that look like? Well, you're going to feel a sense of the spirit of this is what I've called you to do. This is what I've called you in. This is a capacity. And there's going to be no opportunity when he does it. But then all of a sudden, within months, there's going to be an opportunity that's going to wake up and you're going to hear about it. And it's going to confirm for you that God spoke to me a long time ago about fulfilling this position. And you're going to chase it and it's going to create passion. Are you following me this morning? My youth pastorate happened that same way. I was in prayer. I said, God, open a door. I prayed this, and you know this. I said, God, kill this in me or open a door. Kill this passion, kill this desire, or open a door. Because I can't live with passion and not quenching it, not trying to resolve it. I can't live with unsatisfied passion. So kill it or open a door. I kid you not. The very next day, the pastor at the first church I youth pastored as a paid youth pastor knocked on my door and asked me to take over his youth. The very next day, do you think I had any qualms, confusion about if this was God or not? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. You're here this morning because God wanted you to hear this. The church needs you. The kingdom of God needs you. And you're here at this body not to set, but you're here at this body to deploy, to develop, to discover. That's why you're here. Oh, hallelujah. There's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to so many in here. Thank you, Jesus.
This morning, let it resonate. Let it continue. Let it build up right now. Let there be a clarity like Jesus had when he came down from that mountain and said, this is what we're doing. This is what I know I'm supposed to do. This is my role in their life. And there's no question. Let that confidence be in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Love you. I'll see you tonight. Listen, tonight we have prayer. Good opportunity just to seek the face of God and just to get some presence, get some clarity. God bless you. Hope to see you there. It's at 5 o'clock.